You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tip of the Iceberg Trade Deadline Recap Edition. We'll be talking about everything that happened today for the Pittsburgh Penguins, and it's a very short list, so we'll have some discussion with Nick Horwat coming up here. He was in the building today for the NHL's trade deadline, just finished up talking with President of Hockey Operations and General Manager Kyle Dubas before he had to go jump on a flight, Dubas, that is, to Boston. But before we get into that conversation with Horwat, I want to run down through the three moves that the Penguins made today and really leading up to the trade deadline this week. Obviously, the big one, Jake Guentzel traded to the Carolina Hurricanes along with Ty Smith. And in return, the Penguins acquire Michael Bunting, prospects Ville Koivunen, Vasily Ponomarev, and Cruz Lucius. They also get a conditional second round pick and a conditional fifth round pick in that trade. They went on today to make a couple more moves, smaller moves at that. Chad Ruhwedel, longtime Pittsburgh Penguin, Stanley Cup champion, traded to the New York Rangers in exchange for a 2027 fourth round pick. And then a little bit later in the afternoon, Magnus Helberg, the Penguins' third string goaltender, traded to the Florida Panthers in exchange for a conditional seventh rounder. And Ludvik Weber, who is an AHL, ECHL tweener goaltender. So an exchanging of American Hockey League goaltenders there. But that was it for Kyle Dubas and company. It is two NHL roster players out the door, one AHL goalie out the door, and coming back for Kyle Dubas' squad, one NHL roster player, three prospects, one, like I mentioned, AHL, ECHL tweener goaltender, and five draft picks, four of which are conditional, and the big one being that conditional second round pick in the Jake Guentzel trade that right now is Philadelphia's second rounder, but changes into Carolina's first rounder if they're able to make the Stanley Cup final this year. But those are the three moves. We're going to bring Horwat here in just a second. We're going to take a quick 16-second break, and when we come back, joined by Nick Horwat of the Hockey News and Inside the Penguins. All right, we're back here with Nick Horwat of Inside the Penguins and also co-host of the Tip of the Iceberg podcast. How's it going today, Horwat? Obviously a busy day for everybody in the hockey stratosphere, but you spent most of it up there at UPMC 66 as the Penguins held practice for some reason today.
Oh, because no one got moved. You know, I think.
Well, fair enough.
It was a busy day for a lot of people in the hockey world, and that didn't include, as far as we know, that didn't include too much of Kyle Dubas and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Listen, I'm not entirely pleased with how today went, considering the amount of speculation, the amount of names that were expected to be moved or even in conversations. Then we get to today and poof, it's all gone. No whispers, no nothing. And the only moves we got were Chad Ruhwedel, which is going to be a bigger move than I think, maybe not the return, but a bigger, more notable move than people give it credit for, and Magnus Helberg, which, hey, we got the goalie move that Elliot Friedman predicted.
Yeah, Friedman did predict that one of three goaltenders could be on the move, and Helberg was not one of those names. They even threw Blomqvist into that when talking about Penguins goaltenders, but they didn't talk about Helberg, and he ends up being the one going down to Florida. So obviously the big move is Jake Gensel late last night. The move is underwhelming to most. A lot of people pushing back on Ponomarev, Koivunen saying there's a lot of high upside for these guys, a lot of skill for these guys. When you look at this trade entirely, though, Michael Bunting is the name that most people are going to recognize. Now, you in the past have touted that Michael Bunting is somebody that you wouldn't have minded seeing come to Pittsburgh, but I don't want to paint you in a bad light here. You obviously didn't mean in this circumstance when trading away one of the best wingers in the franchise's history, but with Michael Bunting coming in, you saw him have his first practice today at UPMC 66. What are your thoughts on him joining the Penguins? Obviously, with two more years left on that contract as well, so somebody that could be sticking around for a while.
He's coming in with the familiarity of Kyle Dubas and of how Kyle Dubas likes to do things. I think he should fit perfectly fine. He's going to do pretty well. He's already taking up positions on the top power play unit. Don't know what the forward lines look like yet. They didn't run line rushes today, so we'll see where things go tomorrow against Boston. Mm-hmm. I would suspect that he's in the top six, though. Mike Sullivan said that Michael Bunting is a guy that can play in the top six, that can obviously play on the top power play unit. So I'd expect maybe for the time being, he's starting right off next to Sidney Crosby in Jake Gensel's old position. Mostly because also who else are you going to put up there? Riley Smith is still on the team and I don't see him going back up to the first line. It's going to be Michael Bunting's spot maybe until Brian Rust comes back, which also could be very soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was asked about that post-practice in his media scrum today. You were there, and he had a little smile on his face. Obviously, somebody that has played with Austin Matthews, somebody that was just down there in Carolina with all those talented forwards, somebody that enjoys playing with talented guys, and somebody also that I think Penguins fans will like the fact that he plays in the net front a whole heck of a lot. He is a beast in the net front, and that is one of the top priorities for the Penguins is getting better in that net front area. At least to us, that's one of the priorities that the Penguins should have. But let's talk about the trade as a whole. You obviously haven't been able to give your thoughts on this platform of Inside the Penguins on YouTube, also anywhere you get your podcast from by searching Tip of the Iceberg. But what were your thoughts on the trade when it happened? Obviously, you were up in the press box yesterday. There were murmurs of the trade throughout the entire game because everybody had to wait until that came to an end. What were your thoughts on when you saw the trade come through? What are your thoughts on what the Penguins got back for Jake Gensel and Ty Smith? And Ty Smith as well.
Don't forget Ty Smith is part of that. I don't really know. I think, like I said, I was in on Bunting a long time ago. I think the situation that he's coming into now is a little different than where he would have fit way more. You know, as a bottom six piece that drives to the net and is that net front presence, maybe can still play top power play minutes. But now he's going to play with Sidney Crosby and also – that top power play that is a disaster right now. So it's going to be a bit of a different atmosphere for him. But I still don't mind Michael Bunting as the main piece of the return. You have to remember this team is selling too. The Penguins weren't going to get a Sebastian Aho type that can help the NHL team right now. And when it comes to the prospects, I mean, I think everyone and their mother heard something different than what the Penguins got. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, whenever you hear the names that could be coming back, and then you see the names that are coming back, there's an automatic letdown. But that's just the way it is. You have to let these three prospects who, I mean, let's be honest, you're like, we can barely pronounce their names, let alone know what they can do in the sport of hockey. So we'll see how things grow. So far, the numbers, at least on paper, for I believe all three of them, look decent enough. They should be people who can and players who can help in some way, shape, or form down the line. Kyle Dubas already said the Povent Peronov.
Ponomarev. Yeah, it's gonna take some time to get some of these names down.
I've had not a ton of sleep this week. I barely remember who got traded away today. Mm-hmm. But Ponomarev could fight for an NHL role as early as this season. So there you go. It's going to take time to get used to these names. It's going to take time to see how good they can be in the system. But if that's a name that can fight for a roster spot, then by all means, it's a net positive considering the situation the Penguins are in. I mean, they weren't going to get a 40-goal guy back. Let's just be honest.
No, but they potentially got a 20-goal guy in Michael Bunting. And I think
that's not bad.
That's something that's glossed over. You know, a lot of people are going to take it out on Michael Bunting, but it wasn't his decision to be the return for the Jake Gensel trade. So I'm interested to see, you know, how he fits. Like I mentioned, he has two more years left on his contract at $4.5 million. If he can play at a 20-25 goal pace, that's a pretty good number. That's a pretty good investment there for Kyle Dubas. Now, of course, the question outside of the Jake Gensel trade is the inaction or relative inaction throughout the remainder of this lineup. Riley Smith still on the team. Rickard Rakell still on the team. Ryan Graves, if you believe he was going to be gone, I'm sorry to tell you, it was pretty unlikely. He's still on the team. But what do you make of the fact that Kyle Dubas only moved two NHL roster players, one of them being a depth defenseman, and then obviously third or, depending on who you ask, maybe even fourth string goaltender in Magnus Hellberg? What do you think of Dubas's relative inaction on deadline day?
I'd say it shows that they are fully turning it in this year. I mean, the guys that were supposed to be moved, like a Riley Smith, maybe a Rickard Rakell, Lars Eller, they're great pieces for other teams that are going for it. They just aren't fitting. They just aren't working with the Penguins. And I mean, maybe I'm wrong in saying this, you know, fully means they're not going for it. Mm-hmm. Because the players in the room are going to, if they're wearing a pair of skates, they're going to try and win every game. But from an outside perspective, it just doesn't feel like there's any sort of, aside from Jake Gensel, there wasn't necessarily a move to shake up the room either. Mm-hmm. There wasn't, hey, this is happening because we need to wake up. I mean, that should have been done months ago. As for what this means for Dubas, I'd say it means get ready this summer again.
Yeah.
Because I mentioned this to you after, I forget if we were still recording or not. I mentioned this to you after the podcast that if those names don't get moved, well, they're still under contract. It's not like you're losing them for nothing. Kyle Dubas still has the summer to trade them away and recoup more assets, maybe other NHL-ready players. It could be, once again, an interesting summer. He did mention the salary cap increase a couple of times. He's confident it's happening. So there will also be some extra cap space to work with, especially with that cap going up. Jeff Carter most likely coming off. Alex Nedeljkovic most likely coming off, but also maybe another short deal because who knows where Blomqvist exactly is in his trajectory. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be just another wild summer. That's what that inactivity says to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and here's his exact quote, excuse me, from that press conference following the trade deadline period ending. He said, quote, "I think we need to make a lot of improvement to the group. Obviously, we are not where we aspire to be." So that tells you right there with the fact that, you know, I said it on Thursday's episode, I don't see a future with Riley Smith in Pittsburgh. Now he's going to play the last 21 games here, but I don't see him making it through next summer, especially going on a 1-year deal, especially when you mentioned that cap is going to go up. So it's going to get a little bit easier to move $5 million for the course of one season. So it'll be intriguing to see what he's able to pull off in the summer. But like you mentioned, the only other rental that they really had to offer other teams was Alex Nedeljkovic. And you look at what happened in the goaltending market, the only goaltender outside of Magnus Hellberg that was actually moved was Jake Allen. And that's the New Jersey Devils looking for a starter. Jake Allen is not having the greatest season up in Montreal, but they also had that three goaltender situation going up there, which I don't think is ideal for anybody who wears those big pads. But, you know, only one goaltender of substance actually moved. Was there anybody else at this point that was really willing to give up assets for Alex Nedeljkovic, who I was watching TSN Trade Center, and they said it was Marty Baron that said, okay, what does it matter at this point of the season? And they were talking about it in accordance with the Edmonton Oilers, if Stuart Skinner goes down, you're not winning a cup with whoever's back there, whether that's Alex Nedeljkovic. If you bring in a backup level player, you're not winning a cup with those guys if Stuart Skinner goes down. Very infrequently does that happen. So, you know, that might lend itself as to why Nedeljkovic wasn't gone, but also, like, they didn't have anybody else that was pure rental.
I mean, who'd you say said that?
Marty Baron.
Marty Baron.
Who was a backup goaltender for the majority of his career.
Well, not even that. You just have – let's also look at who made it to the Cup final last year. The Vegas Golden Knights, who Aiden Hill was not the starter going into that postseason, if I'm remembering correctly. At least there were points during the season he definitely wasn't because they had five goalies.
Yeah.
And then the Florida Panthers, who went into the postseason with Sergei Bobrovsky, admittedly, you know, obviously a Vezina Trophy winning goalie, he carried them most of the way. But he was the third string going into that playoffs.
Yeah.
So – I don't like that opinion of, you know, if your starter goes down, you're not going to make it with a backup anyway. Also, Alex Nedeljkovic is better than most backups in this league. You're getting a 1B type player. If Alex Nedeljkovic was to get traded, a team would be getting a 1B type player, mm-hmm. Who could easily carry a team like that. I just didn't. That opinion set me off a little bit.
It did. I love it. I love it. Feisty Horwat.
Well, I've had, like I said, no sleep, and really this trade deadline could have been an email for the Penguins. It's that. That's just a wrong take from Marty Baron, just because look at the cap or the cup final last year.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And Aiden Hill could be Team Canada's goalie, sure, but it took that cup final run to cement that. Mm-hmm. He was not in those conversations one bit before then.
Well, Horwat, thank you for giving us a couple minutes. I know you're sleep exhausted, so we'll let you go. Get some sleep, get some rest, and come back stronger for the weekend where Penn's got Boston and Edmonton, so we can expect that to go swimmingly, right?
That'll go so well. I can't wait to watch them get, you know, murdered on Disney Channel tomorrow.
Well, let's hope it doesn't come to that. Obviously, two games of the last three, they end up losing, 6-1 to Edmonton and then 6-0 yesterday to the Washington Capitals, and we're going to see pretty much the same exact team lace them up tomorrow on Disney Channel against the Boston Bruins. But thank you, Horwat. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to keep it rolling here. Make sure you leave your questions in the comments or your just comments about the trade deadline in general. We'll talk a little bit more about each of these moves. We'll talk a little bit about Jansen Harkins. Might not play the rest of the season. Is that something to be happy or sad about? Let's not celebrate an injury first and foremost, right. But we'll be back right after this break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the trade deadline edition of The Tip of the Iceberg. Shout out to Nick Horwat for joining us. Obviously, he hasn't slept a lick over the last week waiting for that Jake Guentzel trade to come through, and it eventually did, I think at 10:30, 11:30. Who even knows at this point? Trade deadline time kind of becomes irrelevant, but we've reached the actual deadline. It is over. The Penguins are inactive in this one, but let's talk a little bit more about some of the moves they made. Only three to speak of. One of them is of very little substance. Another one is of kind of small substance, but the biggest one, obviously Jake Guentzel getting traded to the Carolina Hurricanes with Ty Smith for Michael Bunting, a couple of prospects and conditional picks in the second and fifth round of the National Hockey League draft. The interesting thing that I gleaned upon from Kyle Dubas speaking to the media just about an hour ago was that he expects to see some of these prospects a little bit sooner than some of the other prospects already in the Penguin system. Braden Jaeger is probably not fighting for a spot out of camp next year. Joel Blomqvist, he's been really good this year at the AHL level, his first season in North America, but it's unlikely that he's going to be fighting for that backup spot heading into next season. It's potentially something that's there, but also you have to imagine that they're going to want to see how he progresses over that summer first and how he plays at the AHL level and tries to carry that over. But he said that Koivunen may come over after the Finnish season is over to North America, that is, and expects him to potentially contend for a roster spot next season. He'll come over, play at the AHL to end this year if he doesn't play for the national team in Finland and get his professional hockey, at least in North America, started. He's currently playing professionally in Finland. Meanwhile, Ponomarev starting in Wilkes-Barre, that's where he's being sent right now to learn the system and then gonna get a shot. And that's what he said. He didn't say maybe he'll get a shot. He said he is going to get a shot at the NHL level this season. Gonna get a little bit of a run, I think was the exact phrasing that he used. So expect to see Vasily Ponomarev sometime soon in the Penguins lineup. Meanwhile, Michael Bunting is going to be in the Penguins lineup tomorrow, playing on the top power play unit, potentially playing on the top line in Jake Guentzel's spot alongside Sidney Crosby. So when it comes to these moves, and specifically this Guentzel move, let's talk about that one for a minute. Obviously, you'd like it to be a little bit more. You would. I think the general consensus was underwhelming. Some people were much more upset about the trade, but underwhelming nonetheless. But I will say this, he is a rental. He's a pure rental. And he even said on both of his TV hits today that he's not even thinking about a contract. He wants to play out the rest of the season, try to help the Carolina Hurricanes win a Stanley Cup, and then figure that out as he goes to free agency on July 1. Could he come back to the Penguins? Potentially. But as of right now, he's a pure rental. So that takes the price tag and it lowers it a little bit. And then look around at the market. Look around at some of the other trades that were made. It's clearly skewed in the direction of the buyers. Not a lot of movement when it comes to top tier players. Not a lot of first round picks to go around. And if it is, it's for players that are going to be signing for a little bit longer term. It's not for pure rentals. You look at, you know, obviously Tomáš Hertl is the big one that came out right at the deadline. He's 7 years left on his current deal. So Vegas is buying the future with that player. Jake Guentzel is a pure rental. So that might have hurt the price as well. The market might have hurt the price as well. But at the end of the day, Michael Bunting, as mentioned before, is a guy that could be on this roster for the next couple of seasons, could be a top six player for the next couple of seasons. Is he a 40 goal scorer? No, he's not. Do I expect him to reach 40 goals? No. Do I expect him to easily reach 30 like Jake Guentzel would? No. But is he a 20 goal capable guy? Is he a guy on a pretty good cap hit that's going to give you some top six production? Yeah. Is it going to help you figure things out next season, knowing you at least have that part of the lineup figured out? Yeah. Now we have to see how he performs over the next 21 games, but something tells me he's going to be just fine in Pittsburgh. And then you have three prospects that are maybe not top tier, maybe not A plus graded. But there's a lot of talent in those three prospects from everything I've read, mainly from Coy Pronman of The Athletic, is there's a lot of talent here. And if they can put it together, there's three guys that could potentially all be in your NHL lineup. And if that happens, great. And again, we got to separate them from Jake Guentzel just a little bit, because you're not going to get Jake Guentzel and any of these guys this year or next. You're just not. But at the end of the day, are you going to get some production from them? Yes. Are they going to become parts of your franchise's future plans? Potentially. And that's what you're buying there. It's going to be magic beans, but everything is going to be magic beans when it comes to the trade deadline, especially when you're trading away a player the caliber of Jake Guentzel. You're just not going to get a sure thing back in return. The only thing that I was a little upset about, obviously, is seeing the reaction of the team. On the ice yesterday against Washington, you could tell it was weighing heavily on their minds. It was weighing heavily on the entire team. And it got to them, and it cost them a game where they got embarrassed thoroughly on their home ice. This is what Kyle Dubas had to say on the team's reaction to trading away Jake Guentzel earlier today at his press conference. Quote, "Nobody's happy about it. I wouldn't want it any other way. I wouldn't want them to ever be happy about those things. I think that much is 100% clear, that nobody in that locker room was happy about it." You heard the comments from Brian Rust. You heard the comments from Sidney Crosby, obviously from, from Evgeny Malkin as well. Guentzel was beloved in that locker room. It's going to be a tough pill to swallow that they had to trade him, especially in a year where they had Stanley Cup aspirations. You know, whether you believed it on the outside or not, the guys in that room bringing in Erik Karlsson, they had Stanley Cup aspirations. And to be trading away somebody that they love in Jake Guentzel, that makes this a tougher pill to swallow for them. So the Guentzel deal, it's one that I think a lot of people are softening on, seeing some of these prospects, seeing some clips of these prospects, seeing what could be with some of these prospects, and realizing that it's been a long time since the Penguins have had decent caliber prospects, at least more than one at the same time. Obviously, everybody's excited about Braden Jaeger. Obviously, there's still that first round aura of Owen Pickering. And obviously, Joel Blomqvist has had a tremendous season at the AHL level. But now you're bringing in three more guys that immediately get put into that conversation. At the end of the day, it's not a bad thing to say. Let's move over and talk about Chad Ruhwedel. He is traded to the New York Rangers for a 2027, very far out, fourth round pick. He spent the last eight seasons in Pittsburgh. He was a cup winner in 2017, and we've always touted him as the ideal six or seven defenseman. That's what he's going to New York to be, to try to connect his second Stanley Cup and bring the Rangers their first one in, what, 30 years? I don't even remember the last time the New York Rangers won a Stanley Cup. It was the early 90s. So Chad Ruhwedel, the Rangers. That's one that I think most people said, yeah, that's a piece that a lot of teams are going to want. Inexpensive, a fourth rounder in 3 years. That's likely not even going to make it to the podium. I'm assuming the Penguins are going to use that at some point in the next 3 years as a trade piece, whether to get somebody else or to attach to somebody else to try to move around the salary cap. I highly doubt the Penguins end up taking that selection in 2027. So you get a draft pick back for Chad Ruhwedel. it's decent asset management. I mean, this is a guy that has been good for the Penguins in his role over the past six or seven seasons, but you need to start stockpiling assets. That's something the Penguins haven't had in a long time. That's the result of going for it for 20 years and winning two Stanley Cups, which cannot be forgotten in this entire conversation. But, you know, I wish Ruedel all the best. He's a guy that seemingly was understated, always goes out there, plays his game. You don't notice him. And for a defenseman, that's completely okay. Goes out, plays his 8, 9, 10 minutes a game. Showed a little bit of a physical side here in the last couple of seasons, especially if you go back and watch last night against Washington. He was playing a little bit more physical, maybe making a tryout to potentially go to a team that's going to go into the playoffs. But, you know, Ruedel, he's always been a consummate professional, and I'm excited to see what he's able to do. Does he get into the lineup for the Rangers, or was he purely a depth option for Chris Drury and company up there? But nonetheless, Chad Ruedel, the second biggest name moved by the Penguins. And if you would have told me that a week ago, I would have said that's a little disappointing. And I think that's the overall consensus, is it stinks that Kyle Dubas wasn't able to move more. But again, maybe not all on him. It was a buyer's market. Maybe there was no prices out there that were worth it. And maybe, just maybe, for a team that is going to miss the playoffs for the second straight season, maybe there was nobody interested in a lot of their players. Now, I'm not going to lie, as we'll get into, Lars Eller, I'm sure there was interest in Lars Eller. I'm sure there was interest in Marcus Pettersson. But again, when you're trading players like that, there's one of the few players that have been consistent for you this season. So it's going to have to take a little bit more than a 7th-round pick or a 4th-round pick to offload some of those guys. The other trade that was made, this one came through, and yep, he's getting a graphic today, is Magnus Helberg to the Florida Panthers for a 2025 conditional 7th-round pick, and Ludwig Weber, or however you say it, the Wheeling Nailers, they're going to have to figure that one out, because this is an ECHL-AHL tweener goaltender, probably there for a little bit of goaltending depth for the AHL level, especially if they're getting rid of Magnus Helberg. Helberg was fine as a third option for the Penguins this season. He came up, took part in a shutout for the Penguins earlier in the season on the California road trip, then played another game after that against the Los Angeles Kings, a big win for the Penguins with Tristan Jarry's health in doubt that game. So, you know, shout out to Magnus Helberg for his game and a half of helping out the Penguins and getting them a conditional 7th-round pick that, again, you know, you never know what that can turn into. The conditions, as far as last time I checked, hadn't been released, but if they end up getting a 7th-round pick, everybody loves Valtteri Puustinen right now. Valtteri Puustinen was a 7th-round pick. So don't throw any of this away, but at the end of the day, very little as far as being a needle mover in this one. The biggest storyline of the day is who didn't get traded. We talked about that with Nick Horvat a couple of minutes ago. Riley Smith, not an easy contract to move, especially in a buyer's market right now where maybe people didn't want Riley Smith. $5 million, you got to buy next season. Maybe people just wanted him as a rental, and that's just not on the table right now. So he stays as a member of the Penguins. Lars Eller, I'm perfectly fine with Lars Eller staying on this team. He's been one of the more consistent players for this organization this season. Not only that, he's been the best third-line center they've had since Nick Bonino the first time around, not last year where he played two shifts and then was injured for the rest of the season. He's the best third-line center since Bonino in those cup runs. So I'm perfectly fine that he's sticking around. Some offensive upside from Lars Eller, obviously great in the defensive zone, been great on the penalty kill. That's a piece that the Penguins can build around and have as a pillar in their bottom six. I like the fact that Lars Eller's sticking around. I would like to see him stick around throughout the offseason and get into next year with the Penguins organization. Alex Nedeljkovic, we talked about him a little bit with Horvat. The only expiring deal that surprised me that didn't get moved. Now, again, market is everything. The only goaltender outside of Helberg that got moved, that was Jake Allen to the New Jersey Devils. So the fact that he didn't get moved, maybe people just weren't willing to pay for a backup goaltender at this year's trade deadline. But also, people don't trade for goaltenders at the trade deadline very often anyways. So Alex Nedeljkovic sticking around, finishing out his one-year contract with the Penguins. Nola Chari, Marcus Pettersson, Ricard Raquel, they all stay put as the Penguins relatively end up being fairly inactive during the NHL trade deadline. We did get one piece of news that was not related to the trade deadline today. Figured we'd mention that here before we head to the comment section, talk about some of the best comments that you guys have left. Thank you so much for tuning in to this trade deadline edition of the Tip of the Iceberg podcast. But Jansen Harkins is going to be out, quote, longer term, according to head coach Mike Sullivan, with a broken hand. He obviously got into a fight last night, as we are showing up here in the corner, and injured his arm injured his hand, had surgery today, and he's out longer term. Not going to lie, you don't want to wish injuries upon anybody, but with Harkins being what he is and with us knowing exactly what Harkins is and where the Penguins are currently situated, I'm fine if he misses the remainder of the season. Put him on LTIR. Don't rush him back for anything and get a look at some of these younger players. Maybe not on the fourth line role, but maybe that's where Jonathan Gruden slots in the rest of the season. I'd like to see him get an extended look. Is he somebody that the Penguins can utilize day in and day out next season, give an opportunity to be an everyday NHLer? That's something that he can prove here over the next quarter of a season. 21 games remain. That is a quarter of the season. Some of these young guys are going to get an opportunity to prove whether or not they're able to make it in this game. And it's going to be a big thing. So Harkins out longer term. Obviously, we wish him well. We hope that the recovery process goes well. And you hate to see somebody who's, you know, stepping up for his teammate. Speaking of Jonathan Gruden, that's the reason that Jansen Harkins was in that fight, is because Gruden hit somebody in the neutral zone and the Capitals player just counted 43 instead of 44. But, you know, obviously wish him well, wish him the best, and hope for a speedy recovery for Jansen Harkins. Final thoughts on this one. Honestly, again, a little underwhelming. I'm starting to warm to some of the prospects that came over in the Jake Guentzel trade, starting to get a little bit of excitement because there's some 19, 20, 21-year-olds, some new blood entering the Penguins prospect system that has been pretty dry over the past half a decade. Again, it's the price you pay for winning Stanley Cups. I understand that. But there's a little bit of excitement in this too, especially when the team at the NHL level is not as exciting at the moment. Yeah, there's still the Stars. There's still Carlson. There's still Sidney Crosby being an absolute animal this season. But, you know, at the end of the day, things to get excited about, three prospects that immediately shoot into the top five, top six of the Penguins prospect system. So let's go to the comment section here a little bit, get some of your opinions on what you have said over the last 30 minutes. Thank you again so much for tuning in here. Andrew Newton, I've seen him a couple times going to bat for Ponomarev. I got to get used to that, man. He said Ponomarev will be an elite third line player across the league. Watch. If he is, it's great for the Penguins. It is great for the Penguins. They've needed some depth. They've needed some youth. They've needed some scoring in their bottom six over the last couple of seasons since Ron Hextall decided to sell off all their good depth pieces. You know, Jared McCann, Evan Rodriguez didn't get brought back. But, you know, if Ponomarev can be that, especially the fact that he's close to the NHL now, if he can be that in the short term, that'd be great. Thanks for your comment, Andrew, and thanks for watching. Christopher says, think Dubas did exactly what we wanted him to do. Now, we have actual prospects beside Blomqvist and Jaeger only. You know, I'd throw Pickering in there, maybe as like now the fifth or sixth in there, but Owen Pickering is a first rounder. He's a big guy that if he fills out, and especially because he's a defenseman and they take a little bit longer to progress, they take a little bit longer to get NHL ready, I'd throw him in that mix too. But it is nice that you're adding on to some of these prospects. Would have been nice to get one of the top four. I mentioned that this morning on my initial reactions to the Jake Guentzel trade. Would have been nice to get one of the top four prospects for the Carolina Hurricanes. You're obviously talking about, you know, like Blake and like Nadeau. You would have liked to get some of these guys, but you know, these three, they each have had some pretty good seasons in their own right, especially in a couple of different leagues, one in Finland, one at the AHL level, and one cruising through the NCAA with Wisconsin. Let's look through some more of these again. Thank you so much for tuning in as I try to find it. Ethan Beaver says Zucker went for a sixth. That is the Smith comparable with an extra year. Surprised no one picked up Ned, but for Smith, Eller, they have another year, and if needed, they could be moved at next year's deadline. I wouldn't even say next year's deadline, you know, especially a guy like Riley Smith. You know, that could be a summer deal. He was a cap casualty last year with Vegas. Third round pick is what the Penguins paid for him. Maybe he's a guy that Vegas wants back once that salary cap goes up $4 million. But again, I don't know what Vegas' salary cap looks like right now. They probably are spending $110 million before LTIR is deduced. So it's going to be interesting to see what they're going to be able to do. But you know, at the end of the day, Penguins, they were not able to move everybody. Zucker going to Nashville. Like to see him play some playoff hockey. It certainly fits him, 100%. Pittsburgh Hornets said, this whole thing is disappointing. Yeah, to a certain extent, it is disappointing when you have to start selling. It's disappointing when your team is performing at the level where they have to start selling, especially whenever it turns out that you're selling somebody that has been so near and dear to the fan base's heart, to the organization's heart, and been so important for the Penguins organization as a guy like Jake Guentzel. As I'm trying to go down through here, I'm trying to find a little bit more. Yeah, this is something else that I want to watch. Now that the trade deadline's over, now that the business of the trade deadline is over, and it's not a lot of fun in this business of the trade deadline when you're a seller, Eddie the Pizza Hero, great name, by the way, says Crosby was so disinterested in that game yesterday. I would say most of the team looked disinterested yesterday, but Crosby over the last two, that's a little bit of a pattern. Again, leading up to this trade deadline, that might be what happened. But at the same time, you hope that Crosby can bounce back and say, you know what? Can still make some noise, can still play some great hockey, can still get these guys going, get these guys acclimated, Bunting and Pomareyev, because I keep messing that name up. It's going to be a while, guys. I apologize. But get these guys acclimated. That way they can hit the ground running next season and hopefully get off to a better start, because we've talked about the last two seasons. Poor starts put them behind the eight ball. When they're a team as old as they are, I understand they want to get younger, but when they're a team as old as they are right now, poor starts are going to make it nearly impossible to come back from, because you look at what happens in March. Games every other day, back-to-backs every weekend. It's not great for players who are getting a little bit older and have already played 60 games. To do that, to be in that schedule, to be that desperate at that stage of the game is just not fitting for the Penguins. Now, RDP says, you think Pens would chase a top five pick this season since there's a chance they could be a top five worst team. As of right now, they're the 11th worst team in the NHL, which means if they stayed put, they wouldn't be able to retain this year's first. But with the lottery, as of right now, a 3% chance at Macklin Celebrini, which would really escalate this and would really accelerate this. But again, I wouldn't count your chickens before they hatch on that one. That's about a 3% chance at the current moment. If they have a top 10 pick, 100% you keep it this year. 100%. Are you expecting to be this bad again this next season? I know the Penguins aren't. I know Kyle Dubas isn't expecting them to be this bad again next season. You're hoping that if you get in the top 10 this year, you keep the pick, and next year you're better. That way San Jose for the Erik Karlsson trade gets, you know, the perfect scenario would be 32nd, but I think realistically you're hoping at that point it's 17th, 18th, 19th, and higher than that. So I would 100% keep the trade. I would 100% keep that draft pick if the Penguins end up in the top 10, because at this point, get as many top-tier prospects as you can, and the closer you can get to that top five, the closer you can get to that top 10, the better prospect you're going to get. Look at Braden Jaeger. He's the best prospect the Penguins have had in a long time. Why? Because they picked 14th last year. Now, would I have liked Zach Benson, who went 13th to Buffalo? I would have loved Zach Benson. But I also still like Braden Jaeger, who's killing it up in Moose Jaw in the WHL. Let's look at a couple more of these before we say goodbye. Reading through. I don't read fast enough. Hemihead says, in 2 to 3 years, we will be the Pittsburgh Maple Leafs, either that or the Pittsburgh Greyhounds. Let's not forget, Kyle Dubas, he might like getting his old players, but not as much as he likes getting old Sioux Greyhound players. Michael Bunting, Sault Ste. Marie. Jeff Carter. Now, he wasn't an addition from Kyle Dubas, but I'm sure Kyle Dubas is happy that Jeff Carter's from Sault Ste. Marie as well. Now, Carter, he can retire at the end of the year. I think we can all agree he's been great in the fourth line role. Penguins, they need to get younger. So, at the end of the day, that is what the Penguins need to do. Christopher also says, Claude Giroux was a bigger deal, captain of the Flyers for a long time. Of course, he got what he got. But also, you know, I think there is something to be said about trying to compare trades that happened in different years. There's different teams that are going to try to buy, especially these players. There are different teams that have better prospects to trade. There are teams that are expecting a higher chance of being just one piece away. So I think general managers as well, they have different thought processes through different trade deadlines. So, well, yeah, Claude Giroux, he was a bigger deal. He was a captain of the Flyers. Course, he's going to get a little bit more than Jake Guentzel, but also look at the year. Look at the market that year. Things change, things fluctuate a whole heck of a lot. But I think that is going to do it for where we're going for nearly 40 minutes. That is 100% going to do it for this episode, this special episode of the Tip of the Iceberg Trade Deadline Edition. Penguins a little inactive. I think there's some diamonds in the rough that they could glean upon from some of these returns, meaning just the Jake Guentzel return. They didn't get much in return for Chad Ruhwedel or Magnus Hellberg. Shocker on that one. But that is going to do it for this episode of the Tip of the Iceberg. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And remember, you can find us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins, or if you like the audio only version, you can find us anywhere you get your podcast from. Just simply search Tip of the Iceberg. But that's it for this one. We'll see you guys next time.